Hour number two on the Michelle and Junie show. Happy Saturday, Nashville. I'm Michelle Knesvik, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy, discussing the quarterback situation for the Tennessee Titans moving forward. We got a couple texts on our text line. This is the first one. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Marlin from Murfreesboro. My gut tells me Tannehill is our best chance. You know what you're working with and what to do when you get him. Trey Lance is too much of a wild card and so many unknowns, and you might be giving up valuable draft picks for a bust. I'll get my thoughts on that quickly, and then Junie will get to yours. You know, the way I look at that is you just hired Rand Carthon in as your general manager, and the reason I don't think it's as much of a wild card is just because Rand was inside the 49ers organization. Yes, I know all of it comes down to you know, how you perform on Sundays in the NFL in real game action. And that is something that we haven't seen really at all from Trey Lance. And there is that, you know, question mark with him. But the only way I'm saying you do this is if Rand Carthon is very, very sure that he could be your guy moving forward. And that is, you know, a unique perspective he has, because all the other teams in the league, they haven't seen really anything from Trey Lance, right? The reason I'm saying this is because Rand has been inside of those buildings and has seen what he's been able to do that nobody else has gotten a chance to see because he hasn't been on the field as much.
So I think the interesting aspect of going out and getting a Trey Lance, again, is a second and third round pick valuable to a team? Yes, it is. But The Titans have a very interesting offseason here because, again, when you look at spotrac.com, they're $23 million over the cap. They have a couple free agents that they need to re-sign. I think Nate Davis is a no-brainer. He's probably going to be your best offensive lineman going into next season if you do end up re-signing him. David Long Jr., I think you have to bring him back. Inside linebackers are not that expensive. But when you're looking at some of these guys that they can cut, you know, and get rid of, I feel like they can really bolster up some of those holes. You know, you can get a receiver in the second or third round. I personally think that they might need to consider using it for their first round pick and try to build up the offensive line through free agency. But when it comes to Trey Lance, having a guy like Derrick Henry bolstering up the offensive line, the Titans defense, when healthy, they are at minimum a top 10 unit, the best run-stopping unit in the league. He's going to have a really good foundation, and any young quarterback that has a young foundation is going to be set up for success. Trey Lance is an excellent athlete. He's a really good mobile quarterback. He has a very strong arm. And I think that if you were to go get another receiver, build up the offensive line, re-sign some of these guys that you need to on the free agency side and get rid of some of these older contracts, these injury-prone players, you could be putting this young guy that has a lot of talent into a really good situation. I think Titans fans, they see this past season with what Malik Willis was, and they get scared because of how unknown Trey Lance is. I'm telling you right now, Trey Lance is night and day better than Malik Willis. So if the Titans are okay with putting Malik Willis out here with the current roster, Trey Lance coming in and getting on this team with a revamped offensive line, maybe going out and getting another receiver, whether it's the draft. I don't like the free agency pool, so I would prefer the draft.
Yeah.
You're talking about an opportunity to see a team really come together and potentially make some noise in the AFC if they were able to do it right. But, again, that's up to Rand Carthon because he knows what kind of player Trey Lance is.
Well, and, you know, to that point, Junie, right, Malik Willis was very much a project when they drafted him in the third round. And, you know, probably one of the strongest organizations, I'd say, currently in the NFL, not looking at historically or anything, but currently is with the 49ers and with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And they obviously knew something about the guy, right, to mortgage a lot to get him at that third overall pick. I almost said third round, third overall pick. But, you know, I just pulled up over the cap right now, kind of looking at where the Tennessee Titans stand, you know, as of next year. I think a guy that, you know, would be an easy move off of is a Zach Cunningham. I think that he definitely is a guy you could move off. You could move off him. A couple interesting ones that I wanted to get your perspective on, Junie, was, you know, Bud Dupree. I think it was really easy. And personally for me, I thought, you know, yeah, easily move off him, right? Too injured. And, you know, you pay him too much. And then Joe kind of brought up a good point. Joe Rexroad brought up a good point when we were discussing it last week on, you know, I was really sure about moving off Bud Dupree. And yeah, you're paying him a lot of money. But at the same time, you know, he played 22 out of, I think, the 34 games he was with the team the last two seasons. And you don't really have a lot of depth at that position whatsoever. And you saw how good that pass rush was with Bud Dupree on the field. I mean, one of the biggest, like, changes in the playoff game was, you know, well, not playoff game, was the Jacksonville game to get to the playoffs. But, you know, getting Danico Autry, and it was like, they need to get Danico Autry back. You know, you need to get that pass rush up and rolling. But, I mean, we didn't see much of it in that Jacksonville game. And another big component to that was Bud Dupree. And I think it's really easy to look at that contract and think, okay, yeah, you could move off of him. But, I mean, I wouldn't be so sure about him, I guess.
I disagree with Joe. I mean, the thing we're not talking about here is Harold Landry's coming back next year. And again, yeah, you know, he's coming off ACL, so he might not be the best, but the best ability is availability. And Bud Dupree has not been available for this Tennessee Titans team. He's missed more games than he's played in. And when you look at some of these younger guys, like DeMarcus Walker.
No, he hasn't.
Huh?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't missed more games than he's played in.
Are you sure about that? I feel like
22 out of the 34.
He's played in 22 out of 34 games. Again, I don't know about that. But Rashad Weaver had a really good season. DeMarcus,
we can look it up. I'll look it up.
Yeah, go ahead and look that up, because I don't know exactly how many games he's played, but he's just missed a ton of times. And even in some of the games that he's played, he hasn't really been effective. So I look at younger guys, cheaper guys like Rashad Weaver. He had 5.5 sacks. DeMarcus Walker, he had 7 sacks this year. Jeffrey Simmons was banged up all year long. He wasn't playing at 100%. You know, Danico Autry. You know, I feel like he was bigger of an X factor, and he was trying to come back and play when he wasn't fully healthy as well. You know, we saw this team play at a super high level, and especially with Harold Landry coming back with some of the young talent that they have in rotational pieces, I feel like that they would be just fine without Bud Dupree. I think that that money and that cap space going into other positions of needs would suit this team much better than paying Bud Dupree all that money. Now, if they were to cut Bud Dupree and Bud Dupree come back on a smaller contract, that's always a possibility. It happens every single year for teams. Then that's something to question about. But, you know, paying this guy $16 million a year for him to miss as many games as he's missed for the last 2 years is just not going to do it for this roster that has so many other holes that they need to fill in order to be able to compete. And I think you really need to focus on building the offensive line and trying to get another receiver in here, and that money can be used to go and make this more of a well-rounded roster than paying a guy that has not been there for you really when it matters.
Okay, so we got another text on the text line. Wes texting in, I think we need to stay with Tannehill and Henry next season. Build the team up. Use the 11th pick to get you a 10-plus year starter on the offensive line. Where did that go? The next year's draft looks like you could possibly mortgage the future for QB. Okay, listen, I get the, you know, use the first round pick for a 10-plus year starter at offensive line. And if people easily could guarantee that that would be, you know, the way it would turn out, great, right? But, I mean,
It's never a for sure thing, especially with offensive linemen. They're the hardest to evaluate. Yeah, well, I mean, well, Dylan Raiden's, he was a second round pick, and again, that's a pretty high draft pick. But I'm talking, like, when you invest in a first round pick, The Titans need to go out and get the best player they can get, whether it's a corner, which they need, whether it's a wide receiver, which they need, or if it's an offensive guard, which they need. They need to go out and get the absolute surefire best player because they've missed on too many first and second round picks the last three seasons, and that's why we're talking the way that we're talking. This team needs so many other needs. And when it comes to the Ryan Tannehill situation, again, you can save $27 million by cutting Ryan Tannehill after the June 1st date. If you do that, that is so much money that you can add to building this roster, and you can get a quarterback that can give you similar results as Ryan Tannehill. I just don't understand why fans want to run it back with Ryan Tannehill as he's getting older, as Henry's getting older, and just reaping the same results. You're not even the best team in your division anymore, and you look at the Texans and Colts, they're primed to go out and get their young QB in the draft this season. That leaves you with a mediocre, getting old quarterback that you're paying a lot of money to. Use that money elsewhere, build up your roster, and go get your guy in 2024. It's as simple as that. I don't know what the fascination of bringing Ryan Tannehill and Henry back for another run at this. We've already seen what it was. The losing streak, Ryan Tannehill had lost four of those games out of the seven. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was the big answer either, and I know he's banged up, but again, he's not going to beat these young, talented QBs in the playoffs. He's not beating Joe Burrow. He's not beating Patrick Mahomes. And I don't see him doing what Joe Burrow did and going to Buffalo and beating Josh Allen either. And they got their own problems too. I just think it's a waste of time and a waste of money when you can plan for the future and use that cap space to build around this roster. The core is good enough to move some money, move off Tannehill, get a bridge guy, get a younger, cheaper guy, and then try and go find your quarterback of the future in a very good quarterback draft in 2024. Prime yourself and know that this is the right time to do it. You know, you wait a year and this roster's still struggling, you're going to draft a guy and you're going to put him in a bad situation. Do you really want to go and trade away your future to move up in the draft when you still have a bunch of holes on a mediocre roster? You can go and fix that roster this offseason.
Junie thinks that the Tennessee Titans should move off of Ryan Tannehill, build the roster, and then mortgage the future next year to get a quarterback in the 2024 NFL draft. What do you think? Text us, call us 615-737-1025. We'll get to your texts, we'll get to your calls, but we're going to take a look at the final four teams in the NFL right now. What is their situation? Their young quarterbacks. And will Patrick Mahomes be fully healthy for the game this weekend? You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy. They are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. I just had a major mute on my end, but it's Saturday, guys. The coffee hasn't fully kicked in yet.
You're picking up too many bad habits from Joe Rexroad, Michelle.
I'm saying the intro right now, and Jared in my ear is like, you're muted. I'm like, well, I hope nobody was watching. Well, I do hope people were watching the stream. But
nobody was hearing you if they were watching you.
We're discussing the AFC and NFC championship games, where the Titans fit into the AFC and, you know, how they will get back in the picture and how they will get back as a contender in the AFC. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because when the wild card round happened, they said, you know, the ages of all of the quarterbacks, and Patrick Mahomes is literally the oldest quarterback. And it, Junie, you mentioned, you know, a stat earlier of, you know, in the last 15 years, right, all of the Super Bowl winners, or not all of them, but a majority of them were all on rookie contracts. And I feel like right now we're at a really interesting point in the NFL because it's almost like that official, I don't want to say official, but like the page turning, right? We saw Roethlisberger retire last year. Brady was gonna Brady retired and then unretired, but he's definitely, you know, in the next couple of years, they're gonna be whether he plays one more year, whether he retires, whether he takes the Fox contract, right? You know, Rodgers has been going back and forth on, and is it time to retire and things like that. And we're really seeing these young guys, especially like Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, we're really seeing them emerge to be the new faces of the NFL, which, you know, it's crazy because you look at Roethlisberger and Rodgers and Brady and what they've done for the game, and then you just look at how much it's changed. I mean, right now, some people are even like, Tom Brady, I don't want him right now. Like, the guy's a statue. That's like, he's always been a statue. He's never been able to, you know, really run outside of the pocket. And it's just become so different. I mean, you look at Patrick Mahomes' game, like,
well, the game has changed. And I mean, you look at like defensive linemen and especially linebackers. I was watching some highlights of late 90s, early 2000s games, and there are some linebackers out there that are like pushing close to 300 pounds and that wouldn't even be touching off the line of scrimmage in nowadays games. I mean, linebackers now, you're seeing like Micah Parsons, like David Long Jr. was a former running back playing inside linebacker. Yeah. I mean, you would never see that. They have to
Dylan
cover.
Cole.
Also, edge rushers, you know, they're not nearly as big. They're faster than ever. They're nimble. They're offensive linemen. You know, some of them have abs nowadays. Like, you would have never seen an offensive lineman with you know, surfboard abs, but nowadays, like, some of these guys have to be that athletic because the game has transitioned so much from being a predominantly run first league to now it's pass, air it out, try and get the big plays you can with speedy wide receivers. Like,
fast.
It's just a completely different game, and teams need to learn to adapt. And I think at the premise of all this is the teams that are successful are with their young quarterback and a young, talented roster around them. And I think right now, when you look at the Titans and as many holes as they have, and all these people that are still bantering about bringing Tannehill back, like, can somebody please call in? 615-737-1025. I just want to hear one legitimate argument as to how Tannehill coming back is going to be better for the Titans in the long run. In the long run. Sure.
I don't think people are looking at the long run. I mean, especially as a fan, I think it's very easy. I think it's very easy to say, like, oh, let's just tank. And then, you know, like, we'll get a quarterback in 2024. Like, it's really easy to, like, say that. But then to be a fan who's been a fan since the beginning, since the Oilers, or since they came to Tennessee, you know, going through those losing seasons. I mean, Bengals fans, they finally tasted winning, right, when they finally got Joe Burrow. But the years and the years of losing and losing and being
But that's a great example, irrelevant. Michelle. You honestly, you bringing up the Cincinnati Bengals helps my argument because they held on to a guy that made them just good enough to constantly be in the middle for way too long. And that would be Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was not an awful quarterback. He would put up solid numbers year in and year out, and the Cincinnati Bengals between the years of 2009 to, I would say, about, you know, 2015, 2016, had some really good rosters. But the one thing that kept holding them back was having that mediocre quarterback and staying consistent. Well, you know, with Andy Dalton, we're good enough to make the playoffs and sometimes win the division when the Steelers and Ravens aren't good enough. And that's good enough for us because, you know, we're good old Cincinnati and we just want to be in the conversation here and there. Listen, Amy Adams Strunk doesn't want to be in the conversation anymore. She wants to be hoisting Lombardis, and she hired Rand Carthon from the 49ers to do this. And I think that you see the writing on the wall. This team won two playoff games. This core group of players, Tannehill and Henry leading the pack, have won two playoff games total. Tannehill has two playoff wins in his entire career, and it happened on a magical 2019 run. That's it. That's it. We're holding on to this based off 1 year's results. That was 4 years ago. This upcoming QB class is the best QB class that we've seen in the last couple of years. Why not move off your quarterback that you're paying $38 million to and use that to build the roster around a young guy? If the 49ers can do it with Brock Purdy, who I know everybody's elevating right now, but the guy simply is not that talented. He's in a great situation with a great roster. The Titans can do the same thing.
So we got a text around the text line. Ty Texan, fix the O-line, fix the wide receiver room, stick with Tannehill. If he doesn't have it together with that, I'll fix. Now all you have to do is go get a QB. Fix the bigger problems first. I don't think they can get a new good QB and fix the issues in one offseason. No, of course you're not going to be able to fix it all in one offseason. I mean – oh, and then another one sounds, this one's actually kind of funny. Oh my God, sounds like you're describing the Predators right now. One magic run and keep reinvesting in mediocrity. And, you know, the unfortunate truth is, right, like you want, when you have, you know, a general manager and a coach, right, it's really easy to, from the outside looking in, be like, okay, do this and then tank and then get here, right? But when you're the coach of a team, right, and when you're a GM of a team, your job relies on winning. Right. And if you like you win and you get the playoffs, like and you're right there. And of course everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. Of course everybody wants to win a Stanley Cup. That's the final goal, right? But you add a tank season in there and you have a losing season, your job is on the line as a coach.
But I don't think it matters, Michelle. I really don't. And I think that because I think
you don't think what matters.
If they were to have one bad season and they keep the defense intact, the defense has a healthy year and they perform at a high level and the offense is starting to get it together, and probably what I would see is, and this is kind of what I saw with the Steelers this year, was they needed to rebuild the offensive line. They were moving off of a quarterback and bringing in a young guy. Something that you'd want to see from the Titans next year is watching the offensive line come together, watching them come together as a group and improving. And to Ty's point, again, yeah, it's easy to say that. Go repair the offensive line when you could be replacing 3 to 4 players on that offensive line.
Wait, go out and get a receiver.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. Ty said that he wants to bring Tannehill back. What would be easier, Ty? Would it be to bring Tannehill back and then get all these new players, or to cut Tannehill and use that money to actually go out and get decent players to fill those roles? I would say the latter. But go ahead, Michelle. What is your point?
Well, no, I was just saying, you said you don't think it matters about, because I was talking about, you know, the coach's security and Mike Vrabel's security if they have a losing season again.
Well, I mean, I think if you stick with this core that's already shown that they've had their best days are behind them, I mean, you're going to get fired anyway unless you make the right move to try and transition, to pivot in order to try and win. Listen, if you go to Amy Adams Strunk and you say, hey.
Dude, you said Mike Vrabel was on the hot seat when he lost
seven
games in a row.
I never said that.
You said if he loses 7 games.
No, I did not.
If he loses 7 games in a row, he will be on the hot seat.
Michelle, no, I did not.
I'll find the audio.
You can find that. You can find the audio. I'll tell you what I said, and I'll still stand by what I said. I said if they lose 7 straight, and at that time they hadn't lost 7 straight yet, I said if they lose 7 straight and you go into next season with the same group, and they start losing again to start the year in 2023, he will be on the hot seat. That is what I said. I didn't say he's on the hot seat right now. But if he goes into next season with the same group of guys, believing in them, thinking they can run it back again after the way this year ended, yes, he will be on the hot seat. And Jared, I don't think that's a hot take. Do you think that's a hot take?
Yes and no. I think his seat is getting warmer as we speak, but I think that it's cooled off a little bit with the new GM coming in. I just think that if they do start to lose coming out, like, it is going to turn the tables pretty quickly on him. But
because there's no one else to blame. There's no one else to blame.
I mean,
he fired the offensive coordinator. He fired the offensive line and secondary coach. They fired the GM.
Okay, wait. We got, well, okay, listen, we will continue
coach,
this. We'll continue this conversation. Listen, we got to head to break, guys. We'll continue. We got a lot of text to get to on the text line. 615-737-1025. You're listening to the Michelle and Jeannie Show on 1025, 1063 in the Game Nashville app.
Are you hopeful of being back here next year and being this team's starting quarterback?
Of course. Yeah, I'd love to be back here. And we'll just have to see what happens.
Aaron's 40, Brady's 45. How many years you got in the tank, you think?
I definitely have some good years left. You know, I feel really good. Even coming off this injury, feel really good and looking forward to some bright years ahead.
That was Ryan Tannehill on locker cleanout day earlier this year. Welcome back into the Michelle and Junie Show. I'm Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Jared Cassidy, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Junie, I did find the audio. Do we have something to say to your favorite co-host?
Go ahead, play it.
Well, I can't play it from here.
Oh, I didn't hear it during the break.
Oh, I texted it to you guys, but no, the audio was you and me fighting back and forth, and we'll have to maybe get the audio we could play.
Well, what did I say?
You said, wait, did you listen to it?
No, I didn't.
So you said, you were explaining, you know, if they lose seven straight when they have a 90% chance to win the division, Mike Vrabel should be on the hot seat. And I'm like, are you kidding? And you're like, absolutely, he should. So ding, 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 1 point for me.
I'm pretty sure I specified and said going into next season, he would be on the hot seat.
Well, it doesn't matter. We'll listen to the audio and we'll hopefully try to get it. But specifically talking about Ryan Tannehill, I mean, that audio just said, you know, like, or he said in the auto, you know, I do feel like I have good years, you know, left in my system, whether that is with the Titans or with another franchise. I do think Ryan Tannehill will have a starting job in the NFL for, you know, a couple more seasons. Do I think he'll play as long as Brady and Rodgers? Probably not. I mean, Ryan Tannehill's, I think he's 32 right now. And, you know, I could see him. I actually think, you know, he would be a great option, whether it's for this team, 34 years old. So whether it's for this team or, you know, another team, like in that transition of, okay, we already have, right, our, say this year,
well,
right?
What do you think then? You keep asking me if I think that he should come back. Do you think he should come back?
I think he will come back.
No, I didn't ask that. I asked
you.
Do
I think he should?
Should the Titans, if Michelle Knezovic is GM for the day, and they say, Michelle, should Ryan Tannehill be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans going into 2023? What is your answer?
Yeah, I think he should be, because
what is the justification?
And then I think that you should, you know, well, first off, you keep him, right? And you get better around him, and then you go get your guy in 2024, or you go get Trey Lance, like I talked about earlier, and you have him behind Ryan Tannehill, and then you see, okay, like, is he our guy? If not,
that doesn't make sense to me.
Why?
Because if you go out and get Trey Lance was drafted in 2021. If you put him as Ryan Tannehill's backup next season, that's just another year wasted of him being on a rookie deal and not getting anything out of him. I mean, that's basically like a Jordan Love situation. The Packers are going to regret they already should regret drafting Jordan Love, number one, because Aaron Rodgers still had a lot of game left, and you shouldn't have drafted a guy when your quarterback's still playing at that elite
and
of a level.
And pissed Aaron off,
but exactly, which they got a whole slew of their own problems, but that's not what we're talking about here. What I'm saying is if you bring this guy in and you trade assets for him, not only is that taking away a player that you could have used for your roster, but you're also wasting the years that you could be having him at the helm, not paying Ryan Tannehill $38 million and using that to build up your roster. Because then at the point when you do make that transition, he's going to be getting paid. And then what are you going to pay him? You wouldn't even know
he's
what
to pay.
He's not going
to be getting paid because he hasn't proved anything yet.
Well, when his contract's up, he's got to get paid somewhere, or he's going to be a free agent.
So, my first thing I would do, I'm trying to get Tom Brady, right? But I'm also being realistic. Do I think they're going to get Tom Brady? No. Do I think they're going to get Aaron Rodgers? No. So you bring Ryan Tannehill back. I really don't like, I get what you're saying of, you know, building up the roster. And I think, okay, yeah, that's really easy to say and you can do that. Okay, yeah, you can build it up. But then, like, and you're saying who would be the quarterback this year?
I would go, if it were me, I would go with a bridge. I would go get one of those borderline starters. Well,
what about Josh
every
Dobbs?
Single
what
year.
About just keeping him?
I would do that. For me personally, I would do that. And I think that you could sell it to Tennessee Titans fans. I really do.
Here's my problem with that. My problem with that is that you have so many guys on this team right now, like a Kevin Byard, a Derrick Henry, a Jeffrey Simmons, who aren't going to be fully on board with something like that. Like essentially a fake tank. A fake tank to then get your guy in 2024. You're just using another year of their.
That's why I necessarily wouldn't go with Dobbs, because that makes it super obvious. Okay, if it were my choice, I would go with a Baker Mayfield, a Mitch Trubisky, somebody like that that's gotten starter reps, Sam Darnold. You know, a guy that you know that you're not going to win with, but serviceable, that can be a starter in this league, and try and tell your team, hey, this guy's got a lot of qualities around him that we like. You know, we're going to see where it goes, knowing that you're going to go out and get your guy in 2024. Listen,
teams do this all the time. And the likelihood of actually getting, like, that's my thing. Like, I get it. You know, that's like your idea. Okay, we want to build the roster now, and then we're like projecting a 2024 and we want to get this guy. But, you know, the amount, like, what I'm saying is, like, I feel as though where this team is at now and all the pieces that they have put together on defense, then to fake tank this year with the offense, it's a waste of a year for so many good young guys on this team. And then, okay, to 2024, they're that much older, they're that much a year under their belt, right? Is Derrick Henry, I mean, another year as a running back at 30 years old, you know, You're paying Jeffrey Simmons, but then Kevin Byard's another year older, right? Like the core of this team, and then Danico Autry's another year older. And then, right, the core of this team is already, you know, they have really important guys who are older, but then some good rookies. I just don't think that, you know, another year.
Outside of Kevin Byard, who's super old on defense?
Danico Autry, who's a huge part of your defense.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I did not think of Danico Autry. But again, we're also talking about Kevin Byard. He's not even 30 yet. So I still think that he has two or three more good seasons. Danico Autry, yeah, I mean that's a guy that potentially is gonna miss out. But I mean he's a guy that's been bouncing around.
Okay, well, Byard's 29. So I mean he's 30. No offense to Kevin Byard, but
I mean either way.
He'll be 30 going into next season.
One season. I really don't believe is going to make that impact on this defensive core. And listen, if you're wanting to bring back some of these guys, and especially I believe you have to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons in this offseason, and you want to bring back Nate Davis, David Long Jr., DeMarcus Walker, all these guys, like, Where is all of that money coming from when you're already in such a deficit with the cap? And I think that, again, moving off Ryan Tannehill, putting yourself in the right direction and trying to go and find your guy of the future is better than just running it back. Because, I mean, honestly, Michelle, are you picking this team or are you picking the Jacksonville Jaguars to be the favorites in the AFC South next year?
Well, I mean, of course it's going to be the Jags.
Okay, and if you're saying it's that obvious,
it doesn't really matter, though, because, I mean, at the beginning of last year, of course, a lot of people were like, oh, it's of course the Colts are the favorites, and they just had, you know, a dumpster fire.
I wouldn't say people were saying, of course it's the Colts. I think they looked
at— Are you kidding?
No one said, of course it's the
Colts. Not in our market, because we actually knew.
A lot of people picked the Colts, I get that, but nobody was saying that they were going to run away with the division. It was going to be highly competitive one way or the other, even if the Colts reached that potential that a lot of people thought that they would. I mean, I know in my final standings, again, I'll be honest, I picked the Colts to win the division this year, and I only had them finishing a game above the Titans. I mean, it was going to be a close race regardless, but I think when you look at Trevor Lawrence and this Jacksonville Jaguars team, I think he's going to take another step, especially having another full offseason with Doug Peterson. I definitely see them growing as a unit and getting a little bit better.
And I get that. Like, I do believe, you know, the Jags will be the favorites, whatever. You know, at the end of the day, like, it's the Jags were, I mean, I would love to see what their odds were before the season even started to see if they would win the division. But, you know, Junie, and to my point, you know, about the defense getting older, like, it really isn't the 1 year, right? Because when you draft a rookie, right, I mean, other than maybe a Joe Burrow, right, in his first year he tore the ACL, and then second year it was the Super Bowl, and this is his third year. But you know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is this is 2 to 3 years of this defense. I mean, DeMarcus Walker, Mario Edwards, 28, 29, Kevin Byard is going to be 30, Derrick Henry, you know, Danico Autry, right? So, like, it isn't really just 1 year. Yeah, it's the 1 year of the tank, but then it's okay. Then you're a rookie coming in, and then, right, you have to reevaluate every single year. And I think my point to it, because I'm still kind of wishy-washy on, you know, what I would do if I put my GM hat on. But, you know, the reality is this team being on two completely different pages with building this defense up and where this offense is I'm at the point where it's like, how can you waste this defense on how great they've been able to be? But then if you wait to go get a quarterback in 2 to 3 years and he's ready in 2 to 3 years, you know, to really emerge in this league, your defense isn't going to be your defense, and you're just going to be at that position again. So, you know, the Tannehill argument for me a lot of times is, and we were totally supposed to talk about basketball here, but we got plenty of time to talk about basketball here in the next couple of weeks and things like that. But the point to me is, like, you know, what is your best option to win right now? Because I truly do think that, you know, to try to move pieces and then get the young guy, then it's already okay a year and then another year for him to even, like, be a good, decent starter. And yeah, you can make your team great around him. But how many times have we actually been able to see a team be able to make it work like San Francisco is able to make it work? It's very, very rare. And you basically have to have everything perfect to make that work, because teams have tried to do it. And people can bring up, you know, Nick Foles, but that was a unique situation, right?
Well, Foles also had the best years, like, roster in the league that year. I mean, Carson Wentz, that was his second year as the Eagles starter, and he was an MVP candidate in 2017.
Yeah. And, like, we even saw the Tennessee Titans try to be great around Ryan Tannehill. I had this conversation with Chase the other day. That one seed team, when healthy, I would say pretty great around Ryan Tannehill. Pretty, you know, upwards of great before, you know, Taylor Lewan got hurt. You think of you take away the injuries, right? Just look at it from the building aspect. I mean, if a Julio Jones was healthy, if an AJ was healthy, you had Derrick Henry, right? If he was healthy the full season, right? You had Taylor Lewan, you had Ben Jones, you had Roger Saffold, like, you had the defense, right? So from a building perspective and a not being able to project, you know, an ACL or a broken foot, I mean, yeah, they built great around him, and he shrunk in the pressure, and he threw two picks, and that's the reason they're probably not in the Super Bowl.
I agree with you, but also, you know, beating the Chiefs in the AFC Championship is a big if that year.
Yeah,
but
for
I just
sure.
Like I said, and I've said this from the beginning, I felt like they started their run when John Robinson came into town. They drafted their rookie quarterback. 2021 was the year that they had put everything together, and it went into shambles because of injuries to the key players that you had mentioned. That year is over. You are starting to see the decline of this core. I think it's better to break up this offensive core, starting with Ryan Tannehill, and keep Henry. You can keep Henry. I'm not saying move off Henry. That's definitely a possibility, but I definitely, after Rand Carthon's comments, I don't think they're moving off Henry.
And just
going up and trying to use that money to build up as many assets as you can to try and remake what the 49ers are doing. The point of all of our conversations of when the Titans hired Rand Carthon was, we want to be like the 49ers. Well, that's what the 49ers did, is they built up their roster around the quarterback position, and then they've been waiting to try and go get their guy, and they've still been successful, even though, you know, Trey Lance has been riddled with injuries. They're still doing it with the last pick in the NFL draft, and I think that goes to show you that if you build the roster up the right way, which I believe this team can do, then they can really try and go make a run at it when they go out and get their quarterback of the future, which they're going to have to do eventually anyway.
Which is going to be incredibly hard to do, but getting a guy from the 49ers definitely is a good start, because You know, they've been able to do it, and they are looking to get a Super Bowl. Rand Carthon might be getting a Super Bowl ring if they're able to get it done. On the other side, we are going to make our picks for the show. We got a couple games to pick, and also we're going to throw a little basketball in there too. We got Texas, Tennessee, Kansas, Kentucky. Both College Game Day will be at both locations today. You're listening to Michelle and Juni Show on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
She did it again.
Oh my goodness.
Michelle Knesmic.
Twice.
Two mutes in a row. She's so excited to make this money.
I swear, doing it on Zoom, I just went. Welcome back in, Michelle and Juni Show. As I was saying, making just an amazing point while I was muted, you guys are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that twice in a row. It's like when you're talking to somebody and like they just can't hear anything. So that's just great. Okay, guys, I mentioned before, we are going to make our picks, of course, because we always make our picks, presented by Superbook Sports. I mentioned this a little bit earlier at the beginning of the show, and I have been so back and forth on specifically the NFC championship game and the 49ers and the Eagles. And I've seen, you know, all the stats coming out in ESPN, and it's like San Francisco, number one defense in the NFL versus the number one offense in the NFL. And I personally thought that the Giants, I don't know if it was the Giants just disappointed me last weekend against the Eagles, or, you know, the Eagles are just really that good. I thought, oh, they're coming off a week. They haven't played. We've seen, you know, one seeds kind of come out slow sometimes, come out flat. Yeah, no, they looked actually really, really, really good. Jalen Hurts looked great, you know, with the shoulder injury. They had some design runs for him. I thought that was going to be an issue. Wasn't an issue. A.J. Brown, though, pretty much irrelevant in that game. I think he had about 17 yards. And then did you see the video of them not putting him back in? Or do you know what happened with that?
I mean, it was just the normal case of a wide receiver getting frustrated about not getting looks at the quarterback. I mean – Yeah. A.J. Brown's a diva. I mean, we know that very well here in Nashville, Tennessee, that, yes, he is a diva, and he wasn't getting the looks, and the offense wasn't focalized around him. So he threw a bit of a fit on the sideline there.
Yeah, I mean, Stephon Diggs did the same thing to Josh Allen when he had his head in the playbook and was kind of talking to him out in front of him.
He gave him the whole,
yeah, like, what are you doing? Man? And then Josh Allen just paid him no attention, so. Maybe
well, I don't
there.
Know if you guys saw this on Stephon Diggs, but apparently he left the locker room after their loss to the yep. Bengals. Apparently he left the locker room before the coaches even got there. And then some practice player had to go find him and then bring him back. And then he like left again. So he's obviously very frustrated.
I think that's who Diggs is. I think Stephon Diggs is just a really passionate player, and he really, really wants to win. And he's one of those guys that puts in the work to win.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being a hypocrite because maybe that – I mean, that's the same thing AJ does too. But I don't know. I just see Diggs as a guy that really, really, really wants it. And he knows that they're on the cusp.
For sure. And before we get to these picks really quick, I just wanted to mention this. I thought it was, you know, kind of funny / ironic when the Bills GM – did you guys hear his comments he made? You know, I don't want to suck so bad that I can – go get Burrow and then also Ja'Marr Chase. And I'm like, well, he's like, we have like veteran guys, you know, on bigger contracts, like not rookies. And I'm like, well, you did trade the Vikings and they ended up getting Justin Jefferson. And you got Diggs and now you're paying him that big contract. And so
it is true.
You know, I don't know. I kind of look at that and I'm like, well, maybe not the best comments
but
considering
again,
the situation.
The power of the a team deal. With a quarterback on a rookie deal never sees
and helps for the Bengals to have two stud receivers also on those rookie deals as well. So speaking of the Cincinnati Very Bengals, true. They are heading to Arrowhead tomorrow. They are the later game, 5:30, or as some Bengals fans are calling it, Burrowhead, because Joe Burrow is undefeated over Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes with the ankle injury, still unsure about that. This game is basically a pick 'em. The line has moved quite a bit. It now is sitting on Superbook Sports at the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs being 1.5 point favorites. Guys, I am going to take the Bengals plus the 1.5. I think this is their year that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I truly do. And I'm also going to take the over. The over is 48. So I'm going to take the over on that one. Junie?
I'm going to take the over as well. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. But listen, I gave Ricky a lot of stuff because I didn't realize he was a Bengals fan last night when he saw him. I was giving him so much stuff. But all in good fun. Love you, Ricky. But the Bengals have been talking way too much trash. And they've won the last three games against Mahomes. I've been to Arrowhead Stadium, and I think I've been to Arrowhead and Lincoln Financial Field. So this really does hit home with me making these two picks. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to win this game. The Bengals have been talking too much bulletin board material. I just don't think that Burrow and the Bengals are beating this Chiefs team four in a row, especially with how arrogant they're coming into this game. Give me the Chiefs.
Jared?
Yeah, I'm on. Chiefs aren't going to go down 0-4 to Burrow and the Bengals. I will take the Chiefs all day. His injury, yeah, I would take them. And the over is enticing as well, but I'm more of a first half, second half total kind of guy.
Okay.
I will take the first half over.
Okay, this game, guys, NFC Championship, really quick, we got to pick this one. Eagles favored by 2.5. I think I'm going to take the Eagles. I have been going back and forth about this. I think the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. I trust Jalen Hurts and his receiving core more than Purdy. So give me the Eagles, minus 2.5.
There are three
over under 46.5. I'm going to take the over as well.
I'm going to take the under in this game. This is the number one versus number two defense, and especially with the quarterbacks playing at this level for the first time, I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive battle. I like the Eagles for three reasons. I think they have the better offensive line, I think they have the better pass rush, and I think they have the better quarterback in this matchup. And also, there has never been a rookie quarterback to play in the Super Bowl. I do not think Mr. Irrelevant will be the first. So give me the Eagles at
that
home.
That would be iconic. Thanks, Jared, quickly.
Thanks, Junie, for adding that to it. But, yeah, I'm on the 49ers. I've been on the 49ers all year. I thought when Jimmy G came in that they would take a step up. When Jimmy G went out and Brock Purdy came in, they took an even bigger step up. I'm on the 49ers. Give me the 49ers
Ooh-wee.
All day.
We will figure out if the first rookie quarterback will be heading to the Super Bowl. Everybody enjoy basketball this weekend. Jared, go Vols for you. Hope they beat Texas. Hope Kentucky beats Kansas. Enjoy some sports today, and we'll see if Brock Purdy will make it to the Super Bowl. You're listening to the Michelle and Junie Show, 102.5, 106.3, and the Game Nashville app.